question was asked when we speak about Kibud Avaim, when a person converts to Judaism. So how does that obligation play itself out? And how should one deal with parents who might purposely bring negative influences into one's home? So the initial answer, when we speak about Kibud Avaim, so biblically, when a person converted, they don't have the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim. Nonetheless, our sages said, a person shouldn't desecrate Hashem's name. And if after a person converts, they treat their parents in a way that the parents feel like they're being inhumane or less proper towards them, then that's also not appropriate. So there is this idea that we want the parents to feel like they were treated proper. But this only goes so far. Meaning a guy once said to me, his grandmother was coming to Israel to tour, and she was taking a tour of the old city, of all the churches. So how could he not go with her? Because he converted to Judaism, but it's his grandmother. She's an old lady. How could he not help her and take her all around? So I said, I'm very sorry. A Jew is not allowed to walk into a church. You converted, you're a Jew. You cannot go into the church. I'm very sorry. If your grandmother needs an aid, let her get an aid. You want to walk with her up until the area where she's going into churches? Okay, there's what to talk about. But but the idea that I owe it to her and therefore I have to forgo my values in order to be proper towards her, well, she also has to respect your values. It goes in both directions. She's an old lady, that's very nice. We respect her. And at the same time, we say she has to respect your values. That's why on the one end, we try to be proper towards parents after a person converted. On the other end, we don't forgo our principles. And that balance is sometimes obvious, sometimes less obvious. And sometimes a person can find a good solution without overtly going head on. For example, we had a person whose parents wanted to come visit them in the yeshuv. I don't even remember who it was anymore. I just remember the story. And his or her parents, I don't remember if it was the husband or wife, because I don't remember who it was. Their parents were missionaries. They weren't only not Jewish. They were interested in convincing everyone else to go on their ways. So what they did was they called their parents when their parents said they were flying in and they wanted to visit them, they wanted to see their grandchildren, blah, blah, blah. So they said, okay, we'll be very happy. You guys will come over. But you have to realize that we live in a strictly religious community. And when you come to the front gate of our community, I can meet you there with a suitcase and you have to take off all religious things and all missionary paraphernalia and everything else that you have, if you have necklaces with crosses and earrings with crosses and all of that, we'll pack in a bag and we'll leave it with the guard. And when you leave the yeshuv, you'll get your bag back. But you can't bring it into the yeshuv because it's against the principles of the yeshuv. So even though technically there was no such principle in the yeshuv, it's true that the neighbors would be very upset if this person's parents would come and start putting in mailboxes missionary leaflets. But the person found a nice way in which it wasn't personally offensive. The parents respected it. They put all their stuff in a suitcase by the guard when they entered the yeshuv and picked it up when they left. And this way, the person didn't have to bring into his own home all the material that would really be problematic for his own education of his children. It's not always so simple. A person has to very often have foresight and anticipate the problems before they come so that he can deal with them in a way that's gentler, nicer, and achieves the same outcome. And very often it pays to consult with someone who has experience because usually the challenges you're facing, other people faced before you. An example of that might be If a person knows that his parents are going to try to push in a certain direction, then they might want to ensure that on their computer they don't have Skype. Because if they have Skype, then the parents might want to read the kids' bedtime stories. And if they read them bedtime stories, it can begin with Goldilocks and end with... I don't want to finish that sentence. A person might be wise in saying, let me limit their contact to A or B or C. I can't be there every second that they're talking to the kids if it's on Skype. But I can try that my kids will only call them twice a year to wish them a good year. If they call, I won't hang up the phone on them. But most of the time, it's not so easy for them to keep in contact with you. So how much should you initiate it? Well, if you call them and wish them a good year before New Year's, if you call them once a different time, very often they'll be very happy with that. If you take some of the drawings the kids made and you send it to them every 3-4 months, so they'll feel like you gave them a lot. It's more than the average kid does when they fly out of the country. So from their end, you were proper and appropriate and nice to them. And on the other hand, you didn't give them that in to disrupt your education. I don't think there's one rule. I think that there's a balancing act. That's why it is a good idea to have a rabbi who's had experience, who can hopefully help you maneuver so that you can feel comfortable that you were nice to them, and at the same time, not compromise on your principles, which, again, is a balancing act.